Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining me for this week's edition of the SMIE Consulting Midweek Roundup. I'm your host, Marty Bennett, and today we're going to be taking a look at three news stories that popped into our feeds over the last few days, and we'll take a look and see what that means for you in terms of what you do in international education. So we'll take a look at what's happening around the world, and in particular with the pandemic. We've all been faced with that these last few weeks and days, and it's been a real challenge as we all manage with the fallout from this. And it's something that I really hope you take a minute with me over the next 25 to 30 minutes. And we'll be covering what I see as the three most important questions that international admissions officers should be asking themselves right now. There's a lot that's going on in the world, and I appreciate you taking time out of your day to be with me as we discuss these very important topics of the impact of COVID-19 on our industry. Hopefully you're all home safe and well and enjoying time together with family and hopefully not getting on each other's nerves too much. Certainly it's been a change in lifestyle for many of you from going into the office every day and working with your students to not having that opportunity anymore. It's definitely a different way of doing things, and certainly it takes quite a bit of getting used to. But we'll manage and we'll get through it together. So what I'd like to do, as I do each week, is start with, for those of you who are new to the Roundup, where this all began. We started the Roundup about a year and a half ago, almost 2 years now, coming up this July, to provide our insights onto three news stories each week that were particularly of value to folks in the international education community. And this week, we're going to tackle three important questions, I think, that should be at the top of every international admissions office's mind at this stage in the response to the pandemic. Each of the stories that we report on come from our newsletter that comes out on Mondays each week. It's called the SMIE, all the SMIE news fit to share. It's an e-newsletter, comes out on Mondays, a free subscription to that's available on the smieconsulting.org website. Then we take three of those news stories and go a bit more in depth to them here on the Roundup on Wednesdays, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. So thank you for joining me today. And what we're going to talk through today are some of the fallout from what's happened with international students on our campuses since the pandemic directly impacted everything we do in international ed. We know that spring travel was canceled for all of you. Some of you were in the middle of trips and had to come home. Some of you had upcoming trips that you were going on that were canceled. And there's a lot that's still up in the air for summer and fall yet. Fall travel might not even be what we normally would expect it to be. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. Obviously, on your campuses, you're dealing with that every day. You're getting questions about it every day from your students. And one of the things I always like to think of it's the students are why we are doing what we do. They are our raison d'etre. They give us the joy we have each day in helping them find ways that our institutions can be good fits for them. But it's also helping them find the future that they need to either go back to their country and become leaders there or to transition to a life here after work opportunities are fulfilled. But really, the bottom line for all of us is we are in a results business, unfortunately, and it does our numbers and what they're going to look like for this fall may have a lot to do with whether we keep our jobs on some campuses. And I've already heard some folks that have already gotten their notice that there are reorganization plans at their institution. They've been let go, or the plans are to cut staff. Because of the expected shortfalls that are coming. So that leads me to my first story and first question, really, is what does this fall hold for your admissions office? There was a recent survey done by CERCLID. It's an online college recruitment platform that found as a result of COVID-19 pandemic when they surveyed admissions administrators They're now changing their forecast for fall admissions, where a few months ago there may have been some healthy optimism that this fall was going to be a time where they'd see an increase in what was coming. And this, I'm posting the link to this story in the comments section. It's actually a PR Web News release for CERCLID that highlights the results of the survey. And the key ones that impact what we do in international admissions is, maybe you are one of the people who filled out these surveys, but 87% that were surveyed are now moving forecasts from a net increase to predictions of a decline in their freshman class enrollment. So probably not a big surprise there. 93%, and this is where those of you who are in the business have been for more than a minute know, 93% surveyed admissions administrators now expect to see a drop in their international student enrollments. 25%, and another, we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks as well, 25% of respondents planned on dropping SAT, ACT requirements as a result of the pandemic. So we've seen, actually, and there's another story there where we've seen 17 that we highlighted in the newsletter this week, where we saw 17 new schools in the last 2 weeks go test optional. Some of that has been forced, most of that has been forced, I would say, by the pandemic, but maybe that's something that will stick, because you know my thoughts on being test optional for international students, more so than you need to be for domestic students. But that's a whole other story for another day that we'll talk about again, I'm sure. But what these survey results show that there's real fear that this fall is going to be the bottom may drop out of our incoming classes, and this is something I've been hearing a lot of. And certainly reading the tea leaves in terms of some of the data we're seeing, that it's very likely your international class will not come this fall. It will not be physically possible for them to come this fall. There's a lot, and many of you are aware, that U.S. consulates and embassies have shuttered their visa services at present until this breaks. And we are coming up on peak visa season starting in May. When those admitted students that you've sent their letters to and maybe are in the process of getting their I-20s, they are going to be wanting to go for their appointments, but they're not going to be able to do that for the immediate term. There's no date certain when we can say that there's the U.S. embassies and consulates will be back open. So are you preparing for your international students to not physically be able to arrive on campus this fall? Have you thought about that yet? And that's something that I think it's a scary thought to consider at this stage. And it's one that is not without a lot of implications for what we do. And in terms of how we approach the fall or the summer period coming up, with where we might be doing yield events or alumni receptions, what is that conversation gonna look like? If you have alumni overseas that host events for you and admitted students, or if you were planning to go, obviously that's probably not happening now. How are those events going to happen when you're doing admitted student events? We've talked over the last couple weeks about what institutions are doing to take their admitted student events that they do domestically, doing those online, and potentially offering portions of that for international audiences as well, if not a completely separate piece for that audience. So it's one thing I've certainly been an advocate of for many years, is having more of what you do for international students going online, since you're not physically able to be everywhere that your prospective students are. And it's really advantageous to you to develop in your longer term strategies. And now it's going to be forced on you, whether you like it or not. You're having to plan for more virtual options in the recruitment process at this stage. And that, who knows how long that may last. But having those in your arsenal already will help you better prepare for these in the future. And certainly it makes sense. Certainly friends at Platform Q Education have been just going like gangbusters. They've got, I think, over 300 admitted student events planned for this month alone. A lot of that has come, new clients have been rolling into them over the last few days and weeks. But that's one option, certainly one I know I've worked with before. And that's having those virtual opportunities to connect with students that you're no longer able to physically go be with for admitted student events, or even at this kind of year, this time of year, recruiting junior class students for entry in 2021. This is something that impacts what you do every day now. And I've just now, as we transition to the second question, and this is one that you may have thought of, you may not have thought of, but it's certainly one if you haven't. You need to be making sure your administrators are thinking this as well. I'm sure there's somebody up the chain that is, but are you prepared for it is what my main thought with this next question. Are you ready to be online only again this fall? You've had to make an incredible transition to being online only for your current students and their classes and the issues that's raised, on a whole host of issues that's raised in terms of status and everything. Those have been have been certainly discussed, and there have been changes, temporary changes to immigration regulations that have allowed for online classes when previously that hadn't been the case, beyond just one per term. It's allowed for them to be at home in their home country if they were able to get back, if they were kicked off campus and were able to return home to be able to complete those courses in their home country without losing status. Because obviously you typically need to be in country for those, for any courses that you're taking in valid F1 status. So the reality is, are those students going to be able to get back in the fall, your current students? But also, are you physically even going to be able to have classes in the fall on campus? And there's a whole, if social distancing is something that continues in varying degrees, what was a 200 person lecture class that would have been full can only have 100 people in it, perhaps, or 75 people. How are those classroom configurations going to work? So there's a lot of other potential problems that are going to rear their ugly heads over the next few weeks and months, that if you're starting to think about that now, if your campuses are thinking about that now, certainly I would want to encourage you to be making sure you're taking those steps to make sure you're prepared in terms of your messaging out to prospective students and parents, because they're going to have concerns too. But as it impacts your incoming class, if you're not thinking that other institutions aren't planning for that already, there's a great Inside Higher Ed article that talks more from the faculty and student perspective, and faculty and administration perspective as to what that might look like. But take that piece as one piece of information. But you also want to look at what the reality is on the ground in other countries. The British universities are now silently planning to prepare to teach new first-year students online. So their Freshers Week, which is the equivalent of our Orientation Week here in the U.S., in the U.K., the potential is very real that they're going to be starting freshmen at U.K. universities will be starting their programs in September from their home bedrooms, as the article says, and that's from The Guardian. So there's a lot of variables, obviously, that are still yet to be determined, but it's a reality that those that are planners will certainly be jumping all over these kind of comments here and in these articles about what their campus community is going to look like in the fall. And it's one that's going to certainly make what we do in international education that much more pressing, that we're prepared for the kinds of changes that are coming down the pike in the next few weeks and months. So in general, for you that are out there running your own programs, if you handle both sides of it, both the admissions and the orientation advising piece for international students, I'm curious what your thoughts are as to how that will work for you. Have those discussions even started on your campus about what you're going to do with these with your incoming class that you've already done the hard work and you've admitted, and you're in the process of doing I-20s for? You might want to think about, before you send those out, what that might look like. Are you preparing for a situation, even if you can hold on-campus classes this fall, that regular domestic students are able to start this fall? How are you going to handle that for your international students that physically won't be able to get to campus? Are you going to force them to defer their admissions for a semester before they can physically get to campus in January? Or are you going to come up with an alternative that might be not the best case scenario, but certainly the one that will help eliminate interruptions in their education by having an online term for them. The first semester be online with at your campus. Certainly orientation is going to look very different. It would be all online for those students, international students that won't be able to get to campus. There may be some international students that are already in country that'll be transferring and maybe not going home because they probably won't be able to over the summer months. So there's opportunities there that to at least have some people, if you're able to physically have campus classes this fall on campus, that those some students may still come that might be transferring in, particularly those for graduate programs. But for your incoming freshmen that's coming direct from overseas, it's going to be very difficult for them to get here, or the transfer student or the new graduate student from overseas. They're physically, with most all likelihood, not going to be able to get their visas in time to get here for fall. And particularly when it comes to China, where if they're a STEM student and they're already looking at administrative processing for their visa applications, where that could be 3 to 6 months of wait time, you can forget about the fall, even when the embassies and consulates reopen in China. When you look at STEM students in China, when they're going to have already a 6 to 8 week backlog of visa appointments that they're going to need to clear before they can get to student applicants, visa applicants in May that are looking for fall starts, you're going to be in a situation where if China is one of your bread and butter markets, if not your only market, where you have the bulk of your international students from, those students don't count on them getting there for fall. Because that in the country that's probably most directly impacted by this on multiple fronts, both your current students and your returning students, current students and new students that from China, whether they were able to go home after classes went all online or not, or if they're still in town, just not in the halls, or maybe some are still staying in the residence halls, that's a group that you're going to need to pay special attention to and keep your finger on the pulse. Certainly we'll keep you updated here on the roundup, but really it's a time when those students that are front, if China's your top market, you are heavily dependent on their futures. And if their futures are in doubt through obviously events that are completely out of their control, what pathway are you going to create for them to allow them to fulfill their educational dreams? And how proactive are you able to be or willing to be to show that group of students that, hey, you matter to us more than you know, and we're going to do whatever we can whatever it takes to make sure we get you here. Whether it's the online campus first semester, or if it's going to be a deferral to the spring, what are the steps you're going to be able to take that will help make their dreams not lost or dashed on the rocks of what's been happening with COVID-19. Now, this last story, last question, follows on from how you're preparing your prospective students for what's coming this fall, and whether that your campus has actually made any attempts to address this issue of what this reality might be. Are you asking your current students and your incoming Chinese students what they're thinking, what their thoughts are? Are you asking them the questions? Because if you're not, someone else is, and some of the questions that are being asked of them and the results that they're giving right now are not very positive for you. This is another story that's coming out of China. It's from actually a survey done by Beijing Overseas Study Service Association, and that's the equivalent of, if you will, an ARC for Chinese agents. But that process, probably 2/3 of applicants to come from China come through agents, if not more. That those this organization is it's well respected in China, certainly in the West and in China itself. That they've reached out to students that they've advised over the last few years that are currently studying abroad, not just in the U.S. About 30% of the students that they were surveyed, that they surveyed for this report, are U.S., 27 in the U.K., and 20 other countries were included in this report. Over half were undergraduates that were also in the survey. So that's kind of the bread and butter of what we're talking about for U.S. And most other destinations that are heavily dependent on China. So the results of the survey are troubling. 86% of Chinese students want to return home. And the reason why is they aren't satisfied with the actions their host countries are taking to halt the spread of coronavirus. And obviously some of that's going to be blaming the administration for steps. Some it's going to be misinformation they're getting from back home. Some of it's going to be just their own experiences on campus. Have they been treated well in the process of once the transition went to all online? How involved or accommodating were the international student offices in where they were studying? And that's something that should scare the bejesus out of us in terms of 86% of Chinese students. The article doesn't break it down by country, but if 86% of the Chinese students currently studying in the United States say, I want out, what does that mean for your campus? I know of several folks around the country that are incredibly dependent on China for the international students that they have on campus now. And if they were to see 86% of those dry up or leave in the course of a semester, there would be many more layoffs than we currently have, are currently seeing in international education on the admissions side. So, and that will have knock-on effects, obviously, on the services side as well. So you can imagine that this is not going to be an easy time to address these concerns. Certainly, when they talk about the survey that BOSA conducted, it was published on March 23rd, so it's a couple weeks old now, included responses from 9,000 students studying outside of China. And their comments through this were, how educators respond during this time matters more than any other. Choosing not to enroll next semester is now an option being heavily weighed by some students and parents. So it's backing up some of the other things we've been talking about. And the article says educators should be proactive in reaching out to their Chinese and international students. Well, yeah, if you're on the international student advising side, you had to do that. And that means ensuring, and this is something from the report, they need to ensure these students have all their essentials or see if they require assistance from help in finding a flight back home or an apartment if student housing isn't an option, to psychological counseling. And it's really interesting seeing some of the comments coming back from BOSA for this report on topics that maybe 3 or 4 years ago might never have been talked about with regard to Chinese students on mental health issues and psychological counseling. That's the reality that these kind of world-shaking events are happening. And the silver lining here is that for students that wish to return to China, this 86% that the survey results, although half aren't planning to, 94% say they are prohibited from going home by the cost and the shortage of flights right now. So I don't know if it's strictly they wish they could go home but they can't and wish to abandon their studies completely, or if it's something that they're just, for the short term, I wish I could be home and be with my family, because they think it would be safer to be in China, where much of the, at least publicly reported numbers, seem to indicate that things are returning to normal. Wuhan has opened up again this past weekend, so there's changes afoot there that seem to suggest it'd be better for them if they were home. But then there's the uncertainty that of the costs involved to get back home, no flights available, but also their potential fear of not being able to get back in with all the current issues involved. So there's real issues here in this day and age that we never thought we'd have, probably in all our adult lives, or certainly our professional careers, we never thought we'd see. But there are realities nonetheless that we have to confront at this stage. So I certainly at this point in time, I encourage you to hold fast and make sure that you're reaching out not only on campus to your administration to talk through some of these issues that we're going through right now, if you haven't already, I'm sure many of you have, but also as it relates to your prospective students that are in the pipeline for this fall. Are you taking those hard decisions? Are you planning for options that might involve them not being able to get here in the fall, but still attending online, perhaps for this first semester or first term before things return to normal on the visa front so that they can get their F1 visa to come. So are you looking at those options? So strongly encourage you to have these kind of conversations now, because the earlier you start on this front, the better prepared you're going to be when the rubber hits the road this August or September. So that's what we have for you this week on the roundup. But certainly I want to thank you again for being a part of the conversation this week. And we'll certainly have more for you next Wednesday, April 15th, what used to be tax day. Thankfully, we got a 90-day reprieve. But you won't be busy doing your taxes. You might be busy spending your stimulus checks if they arrive early next week, as the hope is. But we'll talk more about next what's going to be impacting what we do further down the road. So thanks very much for joining me. And thanks again to everybody listening on the podcast, working from home, watching on repeat on YouTube or Facebook. Have a great rest of the week. Cheers.
Stimulus checks if they arrive early next week, as the hope is. Gracias.